curse. Okay. So the children, four, husband and wife, bringing up the fire. Sorry, scholars. Yeah. So in our limud of Chofetz Chaim is l'schus refu shleima for Yosef Dov ben Chayla b'soch shalchayli Yisrael b'korav. So Chofetz Chaim, working through the different sorts of people about whom you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara or not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, or it's a mitzvah or it's aveira. So we spoke about Talmidei Chachomim. The next, we spoke about children, we spoke about Talmidei Chachomim. The next category that Chofetz Chaim discusses is Apikoros. Ronnie discussed yesterday exactly what's an Apikoros. But the basic definition is anybody who doesn't accept any word of Torah or Chazal as Emes is called an Apikoros. That's what he says. Except for one verse or one law which is derived from the Torah through the principles. Now, that's something that we learn, Al Pi Shloshes Remidas, Shatorah Nedreshes Behem. Somebody who denies that, he says, I'm a Kabbal Kol HaTorah Kula, but not that. A Ger who wants to become a Jew and says, I'm a Kabbal 612 mitzvahs, but not 613 mitzvahs. I find that particular mitzvah unacceptable. I can't really take on one particular mitzvah. You see, the Medrash says the Rabbeinu Shlom went around amongst all the nations and offered them the Torah. Each one asked Mark Sivbo. He only told them one. He told one of them Loi Tirtzoch. He told them one of them Loi Tikhanoiv. Yeah, only one mitzvah he had to tell them. They said, sorry, I can't. I live by Ritzicha. I live by Ganeva. The Rabbeinu Shlom said, if you can't accept all 613, only 612, then I can't give you the Torah. So somebody who is not mekabel one of the mitzvahs, yeah, there are some mitzvahs that people think are a little bit backward. They're a little bit pagan. They're a little bit. I'm trying to think of the right word for unacceptable. I find it distasteful. This mitzvah, shechita, you know, oh, it's not inhumane and all this sort of thing. Yeah, mila, inhumane. You know, barbaric, mutilating a child against his will, v'chole, all these sort of things. You come up with one mitzvah, you say, I don't accept this mitzvah, you're an apikoros. Zot Chofetz Chaim, that if somebody is confirmed as an apikoros, not only is there no issa to speak Lashon Hara about him, it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara about him, it's a mitzvah to be mevazeh. But he says that most people today who are not Shomer Torah mitzvahs are begeder tinek shenishbo. Right? There are not. He says in the not too distant past, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, the whole of the world, all the Yiddish world, was Shomer Shabbos, and there were what's called. There were people who went off the derech. Those people who went off the derech could have become an apikoros. But those people who've grown up ignorant, those people who've grown up reform, those people who've grown up in circles where Yiddishkeit is not important, he says such a person is begeder tinek shenishbo, and we can't criticize them, and we can't treat them as apikoros because they're not lahachis. But if you know that somebody is lahachis, he comes from an Orthodox background, or he knows Torah mitzvahs, and then some of these people who are hacking against, you know, somebody stands up and says, not a single Orthodox Jew, not a single Haredi has been killed during this war. Right? She said so. She said so in Knesset. She said, not a single Haredi has been killed. It's so untrue. It's simple, a fact, untrue. There are many, unfortunately, Haredim. Yeah, and Chilonim. But Haredim have been killed during the war. Soldiers have been killed. But if you are lahachis and you're anti and you've got an agenda, etc., etc., then it's shayach for a person to be an apikoros af bizman hazeh. If a person is an apikoros, then there's no avera of Lashon Hara in that connection.
Start your day at the Torahway, Northwest London, Monday, Yud Aleph 7th, 17th of June. Rabbi Chaim Pollack, Shlita, relative Lomdus. This week's Torahway is sponsored by Family Reich, of the mitzvah of Moti Reich. The mitzvah took place last Shabbos. The rotten shifter rov was kind of rav nachas. The many mitzvah yitzei chalat ahem. Schus ha-shivuyim va-chayolim va-melchomo she-achzu le-vatzeim le-shalom b-meiro.
Amen.
Morning. I'd like to talk something in Indian about the parasha. Also, we're now still in the week after Shavuos. It's still the Yemei HaTashlumen of Shavuos. So, we'll talk about something about the parasha and also in relation to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. There's a din many times in the Gemara of gesh in iskaya kakotin shonoilat, which means that if somebody becomes a ger, he's kakotin shonoilat, he's like a newborn baby. What does that mean? It means he loses all of his old relatives He's not related anymore to his father, to his mother, to his children. He becomes like a newborn baby.
A newborn baby does have relatives.
Yeah, it's a mashal. Yeah, it means to say he's newborn, he's new in the world. It's an expression, nechanami. But as I state in the Gemara in a few places, so the Chasam Sefer in his Chedushim of Avodah Zarah, he says, I've looked for Makor, where's the Makor in Tanakh, where's the Remez in Tanakh for this idea of Gesh and Eskagi Kotan Shonoilat? So we know it's true, Chazal tell us, but where's the Remez in Tanakh? So Lamai said there are a few Makoris. The Chasam Sefer himself, he has a tzad to bring from last week's Pasha and Pasha's Nosoi. We know there's a Pasha there of Gezel Hager. The Pasuk there says, Vim ein le'ish goye le'hoshev ha'oshon. If somebody steals from somebody, he has to return the money. Vim ein le'ish goye le'hoshev ha'oshon. If you steal from somebody and there's no way to return to him the money, so why not? So the Gemara tells us he doesn't have any relatives. Says the Gemara, who is somebody who you steal from who doesn't have any relatives? Says the Gemara, there must be a ger. So says the Chasam Sefer, it would sound from this parasha in the Torah that somebody who becomes a ger, a gesh in the sky, is kikotin shanoilat, because we're talking about a person who ain leish goyel lahoshav oshom. There's nobody, he doesn't have any relatives to return the money to. It must be that once he becomes a ger, he doesn't have any relatives. Ramesh Chasam Sefer says it could be matcha. It could be the parasha in the Torah is talking about shtuki. We know there's a din in Kedush and other places of a shtuki, of somebody who he doesn't know who his father is. So basically, he's alone in the world. He doesn't know who his parents are. He doesn't have any known relatives. So maybe the parasha in the Torah is talking about shtuki. So there's no klara makor, says the Chasam Sefer, for gesh and eskagi kotan shanoilat. There's a balaturim in Parshas Kisetze. The balaturim says an interesting remez. It says then, Kisetze loisate mishpot ger yosim. You shouldn't change the mishpot of a ger yosim. So he asks, it should have said loisate mishpot ger veyosim, a ger or a yosim. Why does it say ger yosim? Says the balaturim, it must be ger yosim. Every ger is a yosim. Every time a person is magaya, he becomes a yosim because he loses his old parents, he loses all relatives. That's a remez to this idea of gesh neskagi kotan shanoilat. Now there is a Mishnah Chochma in Parshas Veschanan. He brings a makor from Matan Torah. He says after the Aseret HaDibros in Veschanan, there was a tzivui that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Bnei Yisrael, Shuvu lochem lo aleichem, go back to your tents, go back home. So says the Mishnah Chochma, I don't understand. How could Hashem have given a tzivui to go back home to your old wives? There are many people who were married to ladies who are osar pidin Torah, who were mutter before the Torah was given, after the Torah was given. They just received the Torah, Aseret HaDibros. So now there were people who are married to people who are craving. So how could they go back to their old wives? Says the Mishnah Chochma, if the Torah is saying, Shuvu lochem lo aleichem, go back home to your wives, it must be a makor from the Torah, the gesh in the sky, kotan shanoilat. Comes out, nobody was married to their relatives, because nobody had any relatives anymore, because all the kurva was kotan shanoilat. Everyone was like reborn, they didn't have any craving, so therefore there was no problem, there was no arroyos. Yes, it's a shaila if they needed a new kedushin. That's another question. But I could find there was no kravim, as in aroyos relations that they lost. So the Mishchachim has got makor from the Torah, from basically after Matan Torah, to this idea of gesh and eskai gekodin shanoilat. The Maaseh in this week's parasha, we have an opposing idea. It says in the Pasuk, after the story of the Misoninim, it says, Vayishma Moshe so'om, Moshe heard the people, they were crying. Ishle Pesach Oholoi. Why were they crying? So Rashi brings from the Gemara in Yomar, Rabbi Seinu Omru, Le Mishpachoisov, Al Iske Mishpachois, Al Aroyos Hanesoris Lahem. Rashi brings from the Gemara in Yomar that the Yidden were crying. Why were they crying? They were crying Le Mishpachoisov, they were crying Al Iske Mishpachois. They were crying because they were married to ladies who were also to them Apidin Torah. And once the Torah was given, they now had to be Polish Mishnah, and they had to divorce their wives because they were married to people who are royals. So therefore, they had to divorce their wives. That's why they were crying. So it sounds like from here that if they were married to ladies who were also to them, Apidin Torah, once the Torah was given, they had to get divorced. They had to divorce their wives. So it would sound from here that we don't say the din of Gesh and Eskagi Kotan Shanoilat, because if we'd say Kotan Shanoilat, then everybody was reborn. Everybody would lose their Kravim. Nobody would be married to an aunt. Nobody would be married to an isha who was related to them. So sounding from here, we don't take a kotan shanoilat. And Be'emes the Maharal, in Pashas Vayigash, he brings this din here, this drosha of Boichel Mishpachosov, and he asks, what happened to the din of Gesh and Eskagi kotan shanoilat? Why did they have to get divorced? Either the L'chor, they were all reborn with the din of kotan shanoilat. And the Maharal says, Yisoid, The Maharal says that a gerus, which is a forced gerus, we don't say the din of Kodesh Anoilat. Normally if somebody becomes a ger, it's like he's reborn, Kodesh Anoilat, he loses all of his relatives. Checking here, B'Shas Batan Torah, what was the gerus? The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Kof Aleim, Hagigis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a mountain and said, if you accept the Torah, Mutov Ve'im Lav, Shom Tehei Kfor Aschem. It comes that the whole gerus, the whole element of gerus was forced. They were forced, basically, to become Yidden, as those Mashman the Gemara. If they were forced, then we don't say the din of Gesh and Haskai Kodesh Anoilat. So therefore, that's why the Pasuk says here, Vayishma Moshe Asom, Boich HaMishpachoyisov, they were crying, because they were married to Aroyos. And even after they became Gerim, B'Shat Matan Torah, they didn't become Kodesh Anoilat. That's why they were crying. Ma'aseh the Mishnah Chochma, we brought earlier, he brought Chorei Pasuk Faket, that Shuvu Lochem La'aleichem, Adraba. Moshe told Klal Yisrael, you can go back to your old wives. There's no problem of Aroyos, because Gesh and Haskai Kodesh Anoilat. So the Fidim HaShachm, we have to know how will he learn basically the Gemara here, that Boichel HaMishpachos, if they were crying, sounds like they were crying because they were married to Aroyos. So Be'emes, in the Rambam is a Mashma, the way he brings this Gemara, that they weren't crying because they had to get divorced now. The Rambam is a Mashma, they were crying because they just received the mitzvah of Aroyos, they just received the tzivui of Aroyos. So in Echanami now, they were all Kakot and Shonola, they were all fresh and they didn't have to divorce their wives because they weren't related. But they were crying because La'osad Lovi, they knew now there was a mitzvah of Aroyos, there was an Isav Aroyos. From now on, they're not going to be able to get married to future relatives. That's why they were crying already. That's how the Rambam seems to bring this Gemara.
What's the two stages of Matan Torah?
No, so B'Shas Matan Torah, they were all Kakot and Shonolat.
Yeah,
so now, nobody had any relatives. But from now on,
from once now they would on get... When?
As in from Matan Torah and onwards.
When did things change?
No, as in from Matan Torah, there was a moment of gerus. So everybody became new and everybody lost their craving. But from now on, if people would get married and people would have children, now would start a new nation. Now would start a nation where people would become related to each other through becoming a nation.
Why don't we just keep it simple and say before Sinai and after Sinai?
You could say that, but I suppose Psukim are after Sinai.
The question of Royals, there must be hundreds of things which
changed.
Which did not apply then and now applies now.
Right.
We sure,
of course. The problem is that both Psukim are both after Matan Torah. As in this din and our parasha, Boich HaMishpachosof, is by the Mesoninim, is long after Matan Torah. And the Pasuk in Vayis Chanan, where Moshe told Bnei Yisrael, Shuvu Lochem La'aleichem, go back home, is just after the Aseres HaDibros. Just after they heard the Aseres HaDibros, Moshe said, Shuvu Lochem La'aleichem, go back home. So they're both after Matan Torah. One seems to indicate that they had relatives, and one seems to indicate they don't. So Lefi the Mishchachm was suggesting that Avada Gersh and Eskai Kodesh Anoilat, they lost all their relatives. And the reason they were crying in our parasha was because of the future. Because of the future, they knew that they would lose their future relatives. So that's Lefi the Mishchachm. But the Maral says he's soid. That forced gerus, that if it's a kofalem hakegigis, if it's a forced gerus, we don't say gesh in the sky kodesh anoilat. Now, there are the makoris also that seem to indicate that we do say kodesh anoilat, b'shat matan Torah. There's the Ravid in Torah's Koyanim. The Ravid says in Parshas Tazria that if somebody had a nega Torah, somebody had a nega before matan Torah, once the Torah was given, he says he wasn't Tom anymore. Why? Says the Ravid, because Gesh in the sky, he became like a new Ger. So he lost his old din of Tumah. The old Tumah which he had was Poka, because he was Kakon Shonolat, he was like a newborn baby. The Maaseh, at the end of this week's parasha, we have the story of Miriam with the Tzoras. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, and she got Tzoras. Now the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kuf Beis, the Gemara tells us that Miriam had Tzoras, and she needed a Koyin to check her and to heal her. So the Gemara says, who was the Koyin? So the Gemara says it couldn't have been Moshe. She couldn't have gone to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? So the Gemara says Moshe was a Zor. Moshe wasn't a Kohen. He was a Zor. So he couldn't check her in the Goyim. Says the Gemara, maybe Aaron. Aaron was a Kohen. The Gemara says, no, but Aaron was a brother. And because it was a brother can't check no Goyim. A Korav is possible to see in the Goyim. So the Mashal asks on the Gemara, then why does the Gemara have to give two different reasons for Moshe and Aaron? So the Gemara says simply, Moshe and Aaron were both brothers of Miriam. They're both the brothers. They both couldn't see her Tzoras. Why do you want to say Moshe wasn't a Kohen and Aaron was a brother? Say one reason for both. So the Teret from the Ostrovtzer, he says the Merdeh Gezach, he says the Maral says that by a forced Geras we don't say Gesh in the sky Kodesh Anoilat. So he says we know Peshas Matan Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu took the mountain and he told Klal Yisrael Im Tekablu Mutov Ve'im Lav Shom Teik V'Raschem. All of Klal Yisrael were under the mountain. So there's one person who wasn't under the mountain. He was on top of the mountain. Who was that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was on top of the mountain to be Mekabel Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one in Klal Yisrael who wasn't forced under the mountain. He was the only one who was on top of the mountain. So he wasn't part of the kfir of Matan Torah. So what's the Maharal saying? That whenever there's a forced Geirus, we don't say Gesh and Skag and Shonaylad. So Mela, for all of Klal Yisrael, they were all under the mountain, they were all forced, so we don't say Kon Shonaylad. So it comes out they were still related to each other. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one in Klal Yisrael who was on top of the mountain. So he was the only one in Klal Yisrael who lost all his relatives. He was the only one who had the natural Geirus of Gesh and Skag and Shonaylad. So he was newborn, he lost all of his Krovim. So he was the only one who didn't have any Krovim anymore. So it comes out the Gemara in Tzvachim is very meduyik. The Gemara says that Moshe couldn't check Miriam's Taras. Why? Because Moshe was a Zor, he wasn't a Kohen. Aaron was a brother. The Gemara couldn't say that Moshe was a brother, because Moshe was the only one who lost all of his Krovim. Moshe was the only one, because he was on top of Har Sinai, so he lost all of his Krovim, because Gesh and his guy couldn't show no lad. So he was the only one in Klal Yisrael who was basically a newborn baby. So he couldn't check. So basically he wasn't related to Miriam anymore. He wasn't a brother of Miriam. So Gemara had to say he was a Zor, he wasn't a Kohen. Aaron was a brother, but Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara couldn't say that he was a brother. Forget, so Moshe was not a brother.
No,
Aaron. No, so Maral's saying that if it's a forced Geirus, we don't say Kon Shonaylad. So if all of Klal Yisrael were under the mountain, so they didn't have Kon Shonaylad, so they were still related to each other. So Aaron and Miriam were still brother and sister. Moshe, who was on top, so he had the Kon Shonaylad, so he had the Kon Shonaylad, so he lost his relatives, so he wasn't a brother. What?
And he wasn't at Matan Torah.
Who? Moshe, he was very much there, he was just on top of the mountain. He wasn't in the kfir of Matan Torah, but he was on top of the mountain, so he wasn't
forced. Moshe Kibbel Torah Messina.
Yes, we're going to get there soon, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we're going to get there in a minute. So
you get into Achoy Saron as well? Miriam, Vatikach Miriam, Hanavia, Achoy Saron.
Aaron.
It goes very well, but she was then Achoy Saron.
Achoy Saron, very good. It's a good deal, yeah.
What's a forced Geirus?
So us.
What does that mean, a forced
ger? I mean, it's normally in halacha ma'aseh, you can't force something to become a ger. Yes, there's a lot of Torah to explain what the maral means. As in, poshut pshat, the maral doesn't mean that it was that the point was forced. Normally, you can't force a ger. Some learn the maral means that because Klal Yisrael, it wasn't a complete gerus, because historically they're already part, they're already hemshach of the others, they're already part of Am Yisrael. Just something happened. There was some sort of gerus to give them mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. So therefore, it wasn't a full gerus. That's how some learn the Maral. But the Maral's Loshen sounds pretty clear that he means literally if it was forced, if it wasn't forced. And that's really what we're saying, the chiluk between Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of Klal Yisrael. So you have to know, Lamaisa, normally a Geirus can't be forced. You have to know, yeah, you have to know the Pshat. Yeah, so Julie got to do a Tosis question. We'll discuss in a minute. Tosis really asked the Stira. The Gemara says they were forced, and Tosis asked Lamaisa, they said Nasev Nishma. So we'll see in a minute how these things, two things go together. But it would sound like the Pashas of the Gemara, that it was a kfir. As we say in the Gemara, we'll see soon exactly how to put these two things together. Maisa, also we find in this week's parasha, another idea connected to this, we find the parasha of Pesach Sheni. We find, by here, Noshem, Ashahoyu, Tamei, Menefesh, Adam, there are people who are Tamei, but they yochlu lasis ha-Pesach, they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach, b'yemehu, but yikrevu lefnei Moshe, v'lefnei Aharon, b'yemehu. They stood before Moshe and Aaron. They said to Moshe, why should we lose out? Why should we lose out not bringing the Korban Pesach? So the Mishchachma and others, the Medayik, something very interesting. They ask, but first it says, they stood lefnei Moshe v'lefnei Aaron. They went to Moshe and Aaron. The next pasuk it says, they said to him, suddenly they spoke only to Moshe. They stood in front of Moshe and Aaron, then they directed, they only spoke to Moshe. So what's the change? At first they stood Moshe and Aaron, and Lamaisa they only spoke to Moshe. And also Bachal, everyone asks, what's the whole tiny Lomani Gora? We know they said clearly, Anachnu Tomei Menefesh Adam, we're Tomei. If you're Tomei, you can't be in the Korban Pesach. What's Lomani Gora? What type of tiny is this? Don't find somebody, Lolenu, who doesn't have arms, go in front of the Rav and say, Lomani Gora, why can't I put on tefillin? If you don't have arms, you can't put on tefillin. If they're Tomei, they can't be in the Korban Pesach. What was the tiny of Lomani Gora? So the Kotzker Rebbe and the Mishnah Chochmah both say the same point. Say something interesting. They say that Moshe Lamaisa was really in the same position as these people. How were these people Tomei? The Gemara Sukkah brings them. Wamadoma says the Gemara Sukkah Daf Chofei that they were Noisei Aronei Shel Yosef. They carried the Oron of Yosef at Tzadik, and that's how they became Tomei, and that's why they couldn't be in the Korban Pesach. So who was really the first person to carry Yosef's Oron? Was Moshe. We find in Beshalach Shteta Chacham Levi Kach Mitzvos. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when everyone was busy with the Bitzas Hayam, Moshe Rabbeinu was busy carrying Aronei Shel Yosef. So really, Moshe was also Nitmo, was also Metame to Aaron Shel Yosef. So therefore, it's very meduyak. They stood in front of Moshe ben Aaron. Vayomu Elov. They said to Moshe, Lomani Gora, why are we worse than you? You brought the Korban Pesach. Even though you're on the same boat as us, you were also Tomei to Aaron, to Yitzvat Tzadik. And after Pekin, you brought the Korban Pesach. Lomani Gora, why are we any worse than you? Why can you bring the Korban Pesach and not us? That's how they must bear the parasha. The question is, it's such a good taina. Maisa, what is the Teretz? How was Moshe able to bring the Korban Pesach if Moshe was Matame and they weren't?
Do we know that Moshe brought the
Korban Pesach? I don't know if it's Mefurish, but it sounds like they had a taina. Yeah, that's how they're touching the parasha, the Chanami. They're saying that they tainted against Moshe. So you could say that we brought early from the Ravid. The Ravid says that if somebody was Tomei before Matan Torah, then B'shas Matan Torah, because Gesh and Eskai Kun Shonolad, they lost their old Tumah. So now we have the Maharal. The Maharal is telling us that a forced Geirus, we don't take a Kodesh Shonolad. However, the Ostrofter said that that's all the Gabe all of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one on top of the mountain, so he was the only one who had a Kodesh Shonolad. So therefore we could say Moridik. All of Klal Yisrael, they were under the mountain, so for them it was a forced Geirus, so they didn't have Kodesh Shonolad. So Ebezoi, if they had an old Tumah, when these people were carrying Aron Shel Yosef, B'shas, Yetzias Mitzrayim, they remained Tomei, because they didn't have this Chachos of Kodesh Shonolad, so they remained Tomei. Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was on top of the mountain, so for he was the only one who had the Kodesh Shonolad. So forget that he Taka had this Chachos of B'shas Matan Torah, that he had the Kodesh Shonolad, he became new, and therefore he became Toir. So that was really the Tshuva, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be in the Korban Pesach, because he had the Kodesh Shonolad. Moshe Enkein, they who were under the mountain, so that they didn't have the Kodesh Shonolad, so therefore they were Tomei, they were Taka, they remained Tomei L'Nefesh Olam, they couldn't be in the Korban Pesach. So that could be really the answer why Moshe was better off than them.
But you didn't think the Gemara
very good. The Ravid seems to hold as all of Klal Yisrael had this din, and they all became Torah. The Ravid doesn't go with the Maral. We're taking the Ravid together with the Maral. The Maral is saying that all of Klal Yisrael didn't have this Tahara because they were forced, they didn't have Kodesh Shonolad. Only Moshe Rabbeinu, he could use the Ravid, basically, and Chanami. Ma'asim Pashas by Midbar, 2 weeks ago, there it says, Va'ila told this Aaron and Moshe, B'yom Deba Hashem is Moshe b'has Sinai. The Torah says these are the children of Aaron and Moshe. B'yom Deba Hashem is Moshe b'has Sinai. And the Torah goes on to list the children of Aaron. So Rashi asks, how are the children of Aaron seemingly called the children of Moshe? And Moshe says that that Moshe taught them Torah. L'lametcha kol ha'malamed ben chaveri Torah ki'ilu yoldoi. Moshe taught them Torah, says ki'ilu b'nei Aaron are called his children as well. Well, the question is, that's all very nice why they're called his children, but why didn't the Torah write Moshe's own kids? Moshe had children, Gershon and Eliezer. Why didn't the Torah say Moshe's children as well? Why does it only list Aaron's children are not Moshe's? So someone is safer, from Matami Moshe. He says that Peter Ostrofter, that we're saying before, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was on top of the mountain, so he had the din of Gershon and Skaikon and Shonolad. All of Klal Yisrael, they were under the mountain, so they didn't have the Kakot and Shonolad. So comes with Moshe Rabbeinu, Mishas, Matan Torah, he lost kurva to his children. He lost his relationship to his kids because he had the din of Kakot and Shonolad. So comes the Torah is very meduyik. The Torah says Eila told us Moshe Aaron, and it only lists Bnei Aaron. It doesn't list the Bnei Moshe because Moshe Lemaisa didn't have any kids after Matan Torah because he lost the kurva to his children because he had the gerus of Kakot and Shonolad. Shaking Bnei Aaron, Aaron still had his children because Aaron Kilo was together with the rest of Klal Yisrael. He was under the mountain. So therefore, he still had his children. Shaking Moshe Kilo lost the kurva to his kids. So that's what the Torah is saying. Ve'ele told us Moshe, Aaron and Moshe, V'yom de b'Hashem es Moshe b'has Sinai. Because it was the day, that it was b'has Sinai, because it was b'matan Torah, so Moshe Rabbeinu had the gerus and lost the kurva to his children. So that's why the Torah doesn't list his kids. But Lemaisa, the Shef Shemaitin is like Domer. He brings the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph. The Gemara says, we know there's a mitzvah of Puruvu. B'shamay holds, to be mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu, you have to have two sons. The Gemara says, where do we learn out from? And the Gemara says, the Makor is Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he had Geshem Eliezer, he was mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu. So we learn out from Moshe, the mitzvah is to have two boys. Frig the Shemaita, I don't understand. The Gemara, an Omid later, Yevamos Daf Samach Beis, the Gemara brings Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds that if a goy had children, and afterward he's Megaya, he's not mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu. Why not? Because after he's Megaya, we say Gesh and Eskaya, Kakot and Shonolad, so therefore he lost connection to his children, so therefore he wasn't yet to the mitzvah, he doesn't have kids who are related to him anymore. So he's not Mekayim the mitzvah. So we ask, how could Moshe Rabbeinu be Mekayim the mitzvah Puruvu? Moshe Rabbeinu had children, afterwards we have Matan Torah, so afterwards he lost connection to his kids, so how was he Mekayim the mitzvah? The whole Mekor of Puruvu is from Moshe himself, it wasn't Mekayim the mitzvah. says the Shemaitzer. That's not true. There's a Maral. The Maral says that by forced Geirus, we don't take a Kodesh HaNoilad. So if we don't take a Kodesh HaNoilad, therefore Moshe was still related to his children. As Ishtay and Shemaitzer. So if he was still related to his kids, therefore he's Mekayim the Mitzvah of Puruvu. The problem is, the Shemaitzer seems to bring the Maral even clapping Moshe. Even Moshe, who was saying now from the Ostrofter, who was on top of the mountain, still the Maitre Shemaitzer doesn't differentiate. And he says, Moshe, together with all of Klal Yisrael, they all had a Geirus Bekfir, they all had a forced Geirus, so they didn't have the din of a Kodesh HaNoilad. So it seems to sound like that the Shemaitzer argues with the Ostrofter. He holds that you can apply the Maral, even like Gabi Moshe Rabbeinu, even Moshe, who Lachari was on top of the mountain, still you can apply the Maral and say that it was a forced Geirus, and therefore we don't take Kodesh HaNoilad. Also, we find there's a medrash in Parshas Chukas. The medrash writes that after Miriam was nifta, Moshe Rabbeinu sat 7 days. He sat shiva for his sister. He sat avelus. Also, sounds like that Moshe was related to his sister Miriam. Not like the Ostrofter that Moshe lost kurva. So, just to explain, perhaps what could be pshat in the Shemaitzer. Perhaps you were asking before that really there's a sort of a steer in the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that Kaisol said nasav nishma. Mitzat sheni, we know that there's kofalem hakigigis. So Tosa says really they said Asav and Ishma, just Hashem kilu was choishes, maybe that'd be choizah, maybe Klal Yisrael would be choizah after they accepted, Hashem had to force them with the hakigigis. The Maral himself says a different shot. Maral says that the Torah had to be given bikfir. The Torah couldn't be something which was tolui, whether Klal Yisrael would say yeah, would say no. It says the whole bria was tolu on the Sinas HaTorah. If the Torah wouldn't be given, the whole world will go back to Sayu Vavoyu. So therefore, the Hashem had to give the Torah bikfir to show that the whole world is Torah on the Torah. We don't care if on the day you're going to say yes to the Torah, you're going to say no to the Torah. The whole Bria is Torah on the Torah, so it had to be given in a matzav of kfir. That's what Maral says. So according to that, we can understand that even Moshe Rabbeinu, if we're saying technically he was on top of the mountain, and maybe physically he wasn't under the mountain, he wasn't involved in the physical kfir. But the Maral's saying that the kfir wasn't a threat. The matzias of the kfir was to show that the whole Bria is toila on the Torah. The whole Bria is only toila if Klal Yisrael makayim the Torah, on a kabbalah Torah. So therefore, that kfir shaykh even to Gabi Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if Moshe practically was on top of the mountain, but amaisa the kfir of the Torah was given to the Gans Klal Yisrael. Everyone in Klal Yisrael were part of that kfir because the Torah bechefta had to be given in the matzav of kfir. So therefore, we could say even to Gabi Moshe Rabbeinu, we could still say that the Geirus was called the Geirus bekfir because intrinsically the Torah had to be given in a tzura of kfir. So maybe that could be Pshan the Shemaitzer that he held that even a Gabri Moshe Rabbeinu we could say that it was called a false Geirus. It was a Geirus Bekfir, and therefore we would not say Kekot and Shanoilad. Somewhere else in the parasha, we also find this idea. We find the story of Eldad Omedot, the story of the Shivim Skenim. We find that Vyisharu Shnei Anoshim Vamachne, Shema Echad Eldad, Shema Sheni Medot, Vatonach Alei Maruach, Vahima Baksuvim, Valeotzua Ayhelo, Vaisnabu Vamachne. The story of Eldad Omedot who were Misnabe. So who was Eldad Omedot? So we find the Daskeni Bali Tosfos, he brings interesting pshat. He says, Eldad Omedot, he writes, Amram was the father of Moshe. Amram divorced his wife, he writes, because after Matan Torah, Amram married his auntie, Yocheved, he had to get divorced. Vanosa Isha Cheres, he got married to somebody else. And from that lady, they had Eldad Omedot. He says, Eldad is Eldoid, and Medot is Medoid, which means Amram divorced his auntie, his Medoid, and Eldoid Medoid, to his auntie and from his auntie. He married his aunt, and then Medoid, he had to divorce his aunt. And that's really, that was the name of Eldad Medoid. So it comes out that really they were half-brothers to Moshe and Aaron. They were brothers through their father. So the Das Kenin brings Matzosi Kunturus from Reb Amram, he brings from Reb Amram, B'shem Reb Hillel, Shehoya Be'eret Yisrael, he was an Eretz Yisrael, and he writes, Ani Hillel, Ro'isi Keva Eldad Medoid, Hillel, Rabbeinu Hillel went to see the kever of Eldad Omedot. V'hoyokosav aleim, it says on their kever, Eldad Omedot, Achi Aharon, Mino Av, V'loi Mino Eim. We are Eldad Omedot, we are brothers of Aaron, Mino Av, V'loi Mino Eim. We are brothers of Aaron through the father, through Amram, but not through the mother. Chora, the question is, why does it only say Achi Aaron? Chora, they were also brothers of Moshe. Saying if they died, they're brothers of Moshe. Chora, it's a choshav anaf yichus to write in their kever, we're brothers of Moshe Rabbeinu from our father. Why did it only say on their kever, Achi Aaron min Av, v'lo min Eim? Why didn't it say Achi Moshe? Chora, you could say, Api the Ostrofter, that we're saying Moshe Rabbeinu was better on top of the mountain, so he had a din of Kekod and Shanoilad, so Moshe Rabbeinu lost all of his krovim, like we're saying before. So Mele Eldad and Medad were only brothers of Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu, they weren't brothers anymore because Moshe lost his kurva, so Moshe didn't have any krovim anymore. So it comes out they weren't brothers of Moshe, they were only brothers of Aaron. That's why I said in their keva, Achi Aaron and not Achi Moshe. So then again, we see this idea of the Ostrofter in the parasha. And once more we see it, the Mishchokma asks an interesting question at the end of the parasha. Find after the whole parasha of the Shivim Skenim, we find the story that Miriam said Lashon Hara. And he asked, what's the smichos between the two things, between the Shivim Skenim and Miriam? So basically he explains, Osei B'Torah, he says that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, as in the Shivim Skenim, Moshe Rabbeinu was one of the Dayanim. Also we find, the halacha is that you have to have a kohen in the Sanhedrin of 70. So he asks, who was the kohen? So there couldn't have been Aaron, because Moshe and Aaron were brothers, so therefore they were Krovim. Krovim can't sit together to be Dayanim. It couldn't have been Bnei Aaron, because Moshe is still a relative, they're nephews. So still a Rishon B'Sheni, they're still Psulim to sit together as Dayanim. So he says it must have been Pinchos. Pinchos was a grandson of Aaron. So that's already a Rishon B'Shlishi to Moshe. They're already kosher to become Dayanim together. But Amaisi, he brings from the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says that Pinchos' mother married the daughter of Yisroi. As in Elozo, the father of Pinchos married the daughter of Yisroi. So it comes out Elozo and Moshe were brother-in-laws. So Pinchos was a nephew of Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't only a great uncle, you know, a great nephew. He was also a nephew. Pinchos was a nephew because his father was a brother-in-law of Moshe. So if so, Vaita Pinchos and Moshe couldn't sit together on the Sanhedrin because they were still craving. Says the Mishnah Chochma, it has to be that Moshe Rabbeinu was told after Matan Torah to be purish from his wife. V'ata poya moidi modi. So it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu divorced his wife. And once he divorced his wife, therefore, because he was only married, he was only related to Elazar, to Pinchas, through his wife. Once he divorced his wife, they weren't related anymore. So it comes out, Miriam, he says, made this cheshbon. Miriam and Aaron were sitting, and they just saw the whole Sanhedrin being formulated. And they had this question, who was the kohen in the Sanhedrin? And he realized it must have been Pinchas. And they had the same question, either Karevim, and they worked out, basically, that Moshe Rabbeinu must have divorced his wife. And that's why they said, Lashon Hara, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Pirish Mi'ishtoi. They made the cheshbon from the Sanhedrin to work out that Moshe Rabbeinu divorced his wife. That's what he says, that's the smichos in the two things. But we see from here very clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu Lemaisa had relatives. The whole question of the Mishnah Chochma is to work out that Moshe was related to Aaron, who's related to Pinchos, who's related to Bnei Aaron. It was quite clear that Moshe Rabbeinu had Krovim. It was found from here that they were related, and basically, not like the whole it would be like the Maral, that because everyone had the four scariest, therefore there wasn't a din of Kodesh Noilat. That would be another place we see that in this parasha. Just say one more point. The Medrash in Parashas Yisroi, the Medrash says that Pshal Shom Hakadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe Anoich Hashem Lekecha. When Hashem gave the Torah, Pasach Moshe VaOma Baruch Atah Hashem Lekinim LeChayim Shalo Yosani Goy. Moshe said the bracha Shalo Yosani Goy. Everyone asked, what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying this bracha for? There's many pshatim in the Medrash. Just say that the Shulchan Aruch passes every day we say a bracha Shalo Yosani Goy. The Ramah says that a ger also should make the bracha, but Amaisi can't say Shalo Yosani Goy. Because how can a ger say Shalo Yosani Goy? Once upon a time he was a goy. So Amaisi says there's many different chitters in the poskim. But perhaps you could say a pshat that some Amaisi say you should say Shalo Yosani Goy, that because we know there's a din, ger shenas kakakon shenoylat. So therefore, once he's kakon shenoylat, he becomes like a nun neshama. This nun neshama can say Shalo Yosani Goy. I was never a goy, because he's now a new barrier, and therefore this nun neshama was Amaisi was never a goy. So maybe that's what the Medrash is saying, that all of Klal Yisrael, B'Shat Batan Torah, Lefid Maral, they didn't have the din of Kodesh Noilat. They were all a Hemshech of their old lives. They couldn't say Shalai Yosani Goy, because once upon a time they were a Goy. Moshekin Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the only one who had the din of Kodesh Noilat. So he was the only one who just became a new person. So he could say Shalai Yosani Goy. He was the only one who could say Shalai Yosani Goy. I'm now a new Ger, so I never had a history. I was never a Goy. So he was the only one who said Shalai Yosani Goy. So that could be the idea in Moshe. I'm just finished. We say it in Shabbos Davening.
Why do we say it?
No, so we're not Gerim. Shailah is for a Ger. The whole Shailah is for a Ger. Can a Ger say?
What be Gerim at the time of Mount Torah, you say?
Yeah, but physically, I mean, in our today's state, we can say Shalai Sani Goy. In today's Gilgul, we can say Shalai Sani Goy. In Shabbos Davening, we say Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelkoy. List, I'll finish. We say, yeah, what's the Yismach Moshe? What's the greatest Simcha of Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the Yismach Moshe? So, what do we say? Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi ke'eved nemen krosoloi k'lil tfet b'roshin nesateloi b'omdu lefanecha al ha-sinai. So maybe you could say a pshat, like we're saying, that all of Klal Yisrael Be'etzem were under ha-sinai. So they were all forced to become gerim. They were all b'kfir. Moshe Rabbeinu was on top of the mountain. So it comes that he was makabel Torah b'simcha. So yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkei. What was the simcha of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why was he b'simcha? Ba'om de lefanecho al ha-Sinai. He was the only one in Klal Yisrael who was on top of ha-Sinai. So he was the only one who could take it b'simcha because he was the one who was makabel Torah b'simcha. But that's the day we're holding Hoda Kiblua, the Gemara says, we're all makabel Torah b'simcha. We should all be zeicha. We're makabel Torah b'simcha. We have a... Amen. Can you bring it?